Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This meeting will now come to order. At this time, I'd like, may I ask you to please turn off or silence all cell phone pages and other electronic devices? This is a regular meeting of the Zoning Review Board of the City of Atlanta. My name is David Coleman, Chair of the Board and for tonight's meeting. This is a nine-member board appointed by the mayor and confirmed by the City Council. This board hears applications for rezoning and special use permits. At this time, I'd like to introduce you to members of the board present this evening. To my immediate right is Ms. Keita Holmes, Vice Chair of the Zoning Review Board. Other members present are Ms. Michelle Faulkner, Mr. Mark Reese, and Mr. Calvin Lockwood. Members of the staff present tonight are Ms. Brandy Crawford and Ms. Taylor Thompson. The applications will be heard in the order listed on the printed agenda. I would like to acquaint you with some of the rules and procedures for the conduct of this meeting, which have been adopted by this board. The applicants will be allowed a total of 10 minutes to present their case. Since the burden of proof is upon the applicant to convince the board that the application should be approved, they may choose to reserve some of their time for rebuttal following an opponent's presentation. The opposition likewise will be permitted a total of 10 minutes to present their position. It will behoove you to organize yourselves so those who wish to speak may do so within the 10 minutes provided. The opposition is not permitted rebuttal time. Mr. Reese will be keeping track of the time and will inform the chair periodically of the time remaining for your presentation. If you wish to address the board tonight, please fill out one of the blue speaker cards located in the chair in the front of your seats. When you come to the microphone, please give your card to Ms. Holmes. Before making your remarks, please state your name and address. This meeting is being recorded. Therefore, it's very important that you speak directly into the microphone. The board will take two votes on each application. The first vote is on the findings of fact as presented by the staff. The second vote is for approval or denial of the application. It is the second vote that determines the board's recommendation to the City Council. At this time, each application has been regularly filed with the Bureau of Planning, which prepares the proposed ordinance for each application. The proposed ordinance has had its first reading by the City Council and has been referred to this board for a public hearing. The Zoning Committee of the City Council votes on the proposed ordinance following that hearing. Then the full council votes to adopt or deny the proposed ordinance. Finally, the mayor has 8 days to approve or veto the ordinance. The Bureau of Planning has reviewed each application in conjunction with various affected agencies and departments, as well as the respect of the adopted comprehensive development plan as required by the City Charter. The staff's recommendations, findings, the facts, and conclusions are here before us in written form. Each application has been regularly posted, regularly advertised, and notices mailed as required by the zoning ordinance. Comments from the Department of Public Works, the Atlanta School Board, and the County Health Department have been requested. The board must consider each application legally valid and is required to make a recommendation on each application. The rules of the council permit no demonstration of any kind within the council chambers. Please refrain from any applause or dialogue during or after presentations. All remarks should be addressed to the board. I ask that you please show the same respect to the person speaking that you would expect to receive yourself. The applications heard tonight will be considered by the Zoning Committee on May 25th at 9:30 a.m. and by the Atlanta City Council on June 6th at 1 o'clock p.m. I'll now entertain a motion for tonight's agenda.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Ms. Holmes.
I move that this board adopt tonight's agenda with the exception that we move the following cases to the front of the agenda for consideration of a possible deferral, filing, or continuance. U-1605. U-1606, Z-1521, Z-1601, Z-1603, and Z-1605.
Second.
It has been moved and properly seconded that we accept tonight's agenda with the exception of the applications that will be moved to the front of the agenda for consideration for possible deferral, continuance, or filing. Are there any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, all in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes. Please let me remind you once again to make certain that your phones and other electronic devices have been turned off or silenced. Ms. Thompson, would you read the first case for possible deferral continuance of filing?
U-1605, an ordinance by zoning committee granting a special use permit for outdoor dining and eating and drinking establishments when any part of such use is located within 1,000 feet of a residential zoning and use, pursuant to section 16-11.0051L for property located at 1203 Collier Road Northwest, fronting approximately 100 feet on the north side of Collier Road, beginning approximately 113 feet from the northeast intersection of DeForest Ferry Road. Depth varies, area approximately 0.372 acres, land lot 186, 17th District, Fulton County, Georgia. Owner Jeanette M. Goth, applicant G. Coley, MPUC, MPU recommendation deferral, staff recommendation 30-day deferral, June 2016. U-1606, an ordinance by zoning committee granting a special use permit for outdoor amusement enterprises, exhibits, entertainments, meetings, displays, or sales areas, or outdoor areas for religious ceremonies of 90 days or more duration pursuant to Code Section 16-15.0051C. for property located at 310 Trenum Street Southwest, fronting approximately 260.94 feet on the east side of Trenum Street, beginning approximately 8 feet from the southeast intersection of Larkin Place. Depth varies, area approximately 1.8 acres, land lot 85, 14th District, Fulton County, Georgia. Owner Jerome Russell, applicant Seth Peek, MPUM, Council District 4, MPU recommendation approval, staff recommendation 30-day deferral, June 2016. Z-1521, an ordinance by zoning committee to rezone from the R5 district to family residential district to the MRC1 district, mixed residential commercial district, for property located at 240 Ponce de Leon Avenue and 684 Penn Avenue Northeast, fronting approximately 50.6 feet on the east side of Penn Avenue and beginning approximately 200.26 feet from the northeast intersection of Penn Avenue and Ponce de Leon Avenue. Depth varies, area approximately 0.17 acres, land lot 49, 14th District, Fulton County, Georgia. Owner Elizabeth A. Littlejohn, applicant Dialysis Clinic, Inc., MPUE, Council District 2, MPU recommendation approval, staff recommendation continuance to the May 12, 2016 DRB agenda. Z-1601, an ordinance by zoning committee to rezone from the PDH Plan Development Housing District to the PDH Plan Development Housing District for a change in conditions for property located at 890 Peyton Road Southwest, fronting approximately 92.4 feet on the east side of Peyton Road and beginning approximately 485 feet from the southeast intersection of McKenzie Court. Depth varies, area approximately 7 acres, land lot 214, 14th District, Fulton County, Georgia. Owner Charles and Lois Walker, applicant Saren D. Marshall, MPUI, Council District 10, MPU recommendation denial, staff recommendation 60-day deferral, July 2016. Z-1603, an ordinance by zoning committee to rezone from the I-2C MR3 Beltline Overlay Heavy Industrial Conditional Multifamily Residential Beltline Overlay District to the MRC3 Beltline Overlay Mixed Residential Commercial Beltline Overlay District for property located at 905 Memorial Drive Southeast, fronting approximately 705 feet on the south side of Memorial Drive and beginning at the southeast intersection of Memorial Drive and Bill Kennedy Way. Depth varies, area approximately 17.5 acres, land lot 12, 14th District, Fulton County, Georgia. Owner Leggett and Platt, Inc., applicant Fuqua Development LP, MPUN, Council District 5. MPU recommendation, staff recommendation, 30-day deferral, June 2016. Z1605, an ordinance by zoning committee to rezone from the PDH RG3 Planned Development Housing Residential General District to the MR3 Multifamily Residential District for property located at 1462, 1494, 1460, 1458, 1454 Memorial Drive, 1425, 1415, 1461 through 1463 Woodbine Avenue, 1461 through 1463 Woodbine Circle, 2109, 1454, 1451, 1450, 1449, 1438, 1432, 1428, 1420, 1095 Vaughn Street, and 1454 Montgomery Street Southeast, fronting approximately 661.58 feet on the north side of Memorial Drive and beginning approximately 300 feet east intersection of Whiteford Avenue. Depth varies, area approximately beginning approximately 300 feet east approximately 11.1 acres. Land lot 207-208, 15th District, DeKalb County, Georgia. Owner, SC Apartments, LLC, Landlocked, LLC, and Verdun Holdings, LLC. Applicant, Quintus Development, LP, MPUO, Council District 5. Staff recommendation, 60-day deferral, July 2016.
Thank you. Is the applicant or representative for any of these cases just read present? Is there any opposition? Is there any opposition to any of the cases that have just been read for consideration of possible filing, deferral, or continuance? Please come to the podium. Please come to the podium. Please state your name and your address. And you are, what case number is that? Okay, that case is not being deferred. Okay, we will hear you shortly. Not a problem. The board will now go into executive session.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Ms. Holmes.
If there are no further comments or questions, I'm prepared to make a motion.
Please proceed.
With respect to case number U-16-05, I move that this board defer taking action on this item for 30 days until our next regularly scheduled meeting in June.
Second.
A motion is made and properly seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes.
Case number U-16-06, I move that this board defer taking action on this item for 30 days until our next regularly scheduled meeting in June.
Second.
Motion has been made and properly seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes.
Case number Z-15-21, I move that this board continue this application until our May 12th agenda.
Second.
A motion has been made and properly seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes.
Case number Z-16-01, I move that this board defer taking action on this item for 60 days until our next regularly scheduled meeting in July.
Second.
A motion has been made and properly seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion passes.
Case number Z-16-03, I move that this board defer taking action on this item for 30 days until our next regularly scheduled meeting in June.
Second.
A motion has been made and properly seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion passes.
Case number Z-16-05, I move this board defer taking action on this item for 60 days until our next regularly scheduled meeting in July.
Second.
A motion has been made and properly seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes. Ms. Thompson, would you please read the first case for us to consider tonight?
Z1610, an ordinance by zoning committee to rezone from the R5 two-family residential district to the I1 light industrial district for property located at 536 Decatur Street, fronting approximately 109.93 feet on the north side of Decatur Street and beginning at the southwest intersection of Howell Street. Depth varies, area approximately 0.57 acres, land lot 45, 14th District, Fulton County, Georgia. Owner Craig Moore, applicant Rex Bray, MPUM, adjacent MPUN, Council District 2, MPU recommendation approval conditional, staff recommendation approval conditional.
Thank you. Is the applicant or representative present?
Good evening. I'm Rex Bray, 2801 Rangewood Drive. I need to give you the cards, Ms. Holmes.
You can do that at conclusion of your presentation.
2801 Rangewood Drive, Atlanta, Georgia, 30345. I'm here with Craig Moore, one of the founders of Old Fourth Distillery on Edgewood Avenue, and one of the owners of this building at 536 Decatur Street. The property is bounded by three streets with a single building that the owners wish to renovate and convert into a small batch distillery. Unfortunately, though, the property is bisected by a zoning line with industrial along Decatur Street and to the north of the zoning line, R5. So we'd like to rezone the R5 to industrial to allow the manufacturing use for the distillery. We have on the plan here several restrictions, almost 10 of them, for the uses that will not be on the property. Our goal is to have a distillery. It doesn't work. Oh, it does. I'm sorry. Our goal is to have a distillery, and that's our end game, is to have a distillery, just like we have on Edgewood Avenue. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Does that conclude your presentation?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it does.
Is there anyone present that would like to speak in support of this application? Mr. Reese, how much time is remaining?
There's 8.5 minutes remaining.
Thank you. Is there anyone present that would like to speak in opposition to this application?
Okay. Hi, good evening, everyone. Thank you. So,
would you please state your name and your address, please?
Cristia Gomez, 64 Howell Street. And what I am hoping to do today is not completely oppose to their planning, of course, to beautify the neighborhood and to increase, of course, our value for our street, but to also at least hopefully start a more open conversation between the owners, primarily the new owners there, that was just hit with these developments that I didn't know of as a mother of five. Until recently, within the last month. So I have a few concerns that I would like to hopefully speak to maybe the owners as far as what happens to the traffic and who security that comes along with alcohol, which is already pretty prevalent in the area. And what's gonna happen to offset that, I guess, imagery and aesthetics for my children and those others in that street. So if we could have more of a conversation before a final decision is had or approval, then that would be wonderful. I think it would be a little bit fairer for everyone and it'd be a little bit more inclusive.
Can you fill out a blue speaker card?
Excuse me?
Can you fill out a blue speaker card over here?
Yes.
Does that conclude your presentation, Ms. Gomez?
Yes, I think so.
To the applicant, do you have any further comments? Do you have any rebuttal?
Well, I would like...
Ms. Gomez, that's improper. Okay.
Craig Moore, 378 Sutherland Place, Atlanta, Georgia, 30307. We've been actually having open dialogue with the neighbors since January. I think Ms. Gomez may have moved in very recently. Was it just in the last few weeks?
Ms. Gomez, you're out of order.
Can I ask her?
No, you cannot.
I think she's just recently moved in. She came to the NPU meeting that we had, where we had, I think, a 26-1 vote in favor of this project. And she asked some questions. She wasn't at, I don't know if she's attended that meeting before. She wasn't at the prior meeting where we had been discussing the project. We've sat down with the neighbors. We have letters of approval from both of the neighbors who are immediately affected by what we're doing. They've signed letters voicing their support. We've tried to do all we can to assuage the neighbors of what we're doing. We're not a bar. We're not a restaurant. We're a manufacturing facility. The Georgia tour and tasting laws limit someone's sample volume when they come and do a tour to 1.5 ounces of alcohol, which is hardly enough to intoxicate someone, hardly enough to subject her children to the visual aesthetics that she's talking about. We've taken steps that weren't asked of us by the neighborhood to reduce traffic flow along Howell Street. Howell Street is a one-way street. My brother actually lives on Howell Street. He's my primary business partner in this endeavor and our other endeavors as well. We've been in Old Fourth Ward for over a decade. We own a building on 488 Edgewood Avenue. We own a technology business and a real estate company. We now own the distillery at 487 Edgewood across the street, and now this building as well. So we're longtime residents, business owners in the neighborhood. My brother is a resident, like I said, on Howell Street with a young child. So we have sensitive to the fact that traffic could be an issue. So what we did was, given that you have a one-way street on Howell and then another one-way street on Daniel, the entrance, the main entrance is on Howell. We're doing another curb cut and a gate on Daniel Street. So when people enter into our facility and park there, they'll actually exit onto Daniel Street so as to not subject Howell Street to additional traffic flow. So I'm open to a conversation as we move forward. This is going to be a multi-year process building out this facility. We've given the immediate neighbors the ability to have input and actually choose the green screen that we're going to put along the backside of the property, which is some nice evergreen trees and things of that nature. So we're trying to give the neighbors as much of a say in this process as is reasonable. I think that this sort of 12th hour objection to our project is disappointing, because we've been talking about this since January. We can have further conversation, but I think that some of those concerns are unwarranted.
Thank you. Does that conclude your presentation? The board will now go into executive session. Ms. Gomez, would you please return to the podium? How recently has it been since you moved into this neighborhood?
So I have recently taken actual possession of the home within the last 2 months. But we have been very involved with that community for over 12 years. The actual owner, which is my brother-in-law, is Mr. Marty Smith. Can't make it here because of his schedule. Asked me to represent him as well, since I'm actually in possession of the home now. Has been a big standing in the community for a long time. Is the lead ranger for the MLK site, and is very, very well involved. He has children of his own, and he has his own concerns with what's going to happen there and across the street.
It appears to me that the owners and developers have exercised great due diligence in extending themselves to the community, sharing with them what their vision has been and receiving input from them. Unfortunately, your recent move or relocation to the area has prevented you from taking part in those conversations. Mr. Moore has shared with this board that he's willing to extend those conversations to you beyond this meeting so that you could be fully informed and made more aware of what has taken place thus far.
I do understand that, quite honestly, Mr. Marty Smith has not been given the chance to speak to them at all. They hardly receive notices. I do see them walk up and down the neighborhoods, and they casually go around our home now, which is what I see has happened. And no one really, as they knock other homes' doors, they do not knock on 64. And so how much of that is quite accurate, I would kind of debate.
Well, I do know that according to records, this information has been before the NPU. Now, whether you're a participant in those meetings or not is, obviously you haven't been, you're not a member, you haven't been a member of that community for an extended period of time, but others have been and have voiced their opinion and have shared their insight and input with the owners and seemingly have come to some reasonable conclusion that they will accept with some conditions this project moving forward. At least that's the recommendation that has been submitted to this board.
We do have some direct elders, neighbors also to them and I, elders that cannot move around as easily, that cannot hear as much, that are present at the meetings, that are not, their vote is not heard. And their concerns are not necessarily heard as much. And I did try to step in recently and try to be that voice, being a younger, more louder speaking person. But yeah, there are some other neighbors. I know they do have some neighbors that are pro, that I do have some neighbors that have concerns as well and are involved as well, like Ms. Helene S. Mills is not too happy. And she's, we all know, is very, very involved in the community.
Where was she this evening?
She could not make it because she got ill. And I was in her home since 12, making sure that I could get her here, but her delicate state does not let her move as easily as I can.
Understood.
Ms. Gomez, you state that there are concerns. What are the concerns?
So the concerns, one, would be security. What would happen, like those that he said were addressed? I don't know if Ms. Helene and other elders know how well addressed they were, and as I know, I don't know how well addressed they are either. Traffic flow, security, what it would be the influx, what is the demographic of those that are gonna be going in there? What's gonna happen with the event space? Where is it gonna be facing? The aesthetic also as well. I don't agree that a child, even though they're not gonna necessarily see, I do understand what a distillery is. I do know that very well. But what happens to a child looking at a distillery only growing up, that aesthetic that does to what is there to offset that? It's part of my concern as a mother, and I know the direct neighbor to them as well. She has two younger children. She has voiced that concern as well. And so it just seems a little uncertain just because they do say they have addressed it in various meetings. But when I do speak to, I would say about 10 other home members that are not those that I obviously voted in favor, they have the same questions.
I'm sorry, Ms. Gomez, I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm not hearing a concern. A distillery is a commercial, an industrial operator. Children won't be subjected to the process of distilling from the outside.
I'm not hearing a concern. The young man's name in the blue shirt, he said traffic will enter on Howell Street and exit on Daniel, so there's only a one-way flow of traffic. I'm still not hearing a concern.
So we are directly on Howell, directly across the street on 64, a little bit just further up. That's going to affect our parking.
They're not parking on the street, they're parking on site.
There's going to be an event space that's going to be holding well over 100.
Where do you get that event space information from?
Well, last time in the MPU meeting, I did ask that question. What about the event space? What is the capacity? I asked those questions, and I wasn't allowed to get proper answers. What is that influx? There will be an event space that will be rented out for tastings, and it's going to hold a number of people that are going to have to go up to Howell Street. What happened? How is the parking going to be handled? How are we going to make sure that it doesn't overflow to our streets directly across the street when we only have one parking space?
I believe you said a tasting tour, is that correct? So it doesn't sound like it would be an all-night tasting. You only get one tasting.
And right, and so that time they let out around 5 to 6 o'clock, which is when mothers are coming home with children.
Mr. Reese, how much time is remaining?
We're in executive session.
Okay.
Ms. Gomez, I'm a little baffled at this point.
Okay.
I'm not understanding what concern you have. At least I haven't been able to wrap my head around your expressed concern that would not have been fully vetted at the MPU at an MPU meeting. And I'm trying to collect your ideas and frame them so I'll have a better understanding of what your issue is.
Not only mine, but those of elders that cannot make it here.
Okay. I could be a little slow. I take that, but I
might not be expressing myself as
I'm not, you know, as fully grasping what you're telling us,
okay,
or you're asking us to consider, or your specific 1, 2, 3 concern. What is your first concern? Is it traffic? Is it the event hours? Is it the operation itself? What specifically is your issue?
It's not one specific issue.
Okay, what are your three issues? Give me your first three issues.
Traffic.
Okay.
Number one.
Traffic?
I
What's the second one?
Sincerely don't see it just going right around the corner into their small parking lot and then out the other way, being the how close we are.
What's your second concern?
Second concern would be security. What are they going to do to also ensure our security?
And thirdly, what is your third concern?
Right adjacent to it. And then also the aesthetics of what having a distillery does in a corner of a very residential neighborhood.
Okay. Now, as I understand the owner, he has made provisions for his building to receive traffic on one side of the building, which is the ingress, and the egress is on the opposite side, which both are one-way streets. So that should eliminate the traffic concern. Should. Security. I am not certain that he is obligated to provide security for your community. I could be wrong, but I'm not sure that that is a responsibility of an owner of an establishment. Thirdly, aesthetics. He has shared with this board that he has received input from the MPU and has accepted their recommendations for the green cover that's going on the outside of the fence. So I believe he has, to the extent possible, satisfied the concerns of those that have been expressed, and even yours, just today, so that those issues would be eliminated.
So the a fact about the shrubbery that was addressed last on the MPUM meeting, which I was able, fortunately, to attend. And since then, he did say that he did meet with the home directly adjacent to them and were able to, he said, come to an agreement as to what type and how big and so forth, so on and so forth. When I did go meet with them last night, she told me otherwise. So I'm baffled also. And so she had major concerns about how tall these shrubs would be and what would happen behind the shrubs. And so I'm a little bit puzzled as well why we did exchange numbers. He was able to meet with that one house directly adjacent to it and not us across the street. And I did make myself very well available and have been there every single day.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't have the benefit of attending that meeting as well. I can only share with you what has been brought to this board's attention and also share with you that the manner in which those MPU meetings are conducted are beyond the purview of this board. And the information that we have been provided is what we are actually hearing and will be basing our recommendation on.
And can I just say that it's a commercial property. They're not required to screen anything. And what you're looking at now, they're going to be improving the property. So your view of the gate and the structure will be obscured by no matter what. It's still going to look better than what it looks like now.
Of course, having a new modern building improves, like I said in the beginning. I'm not here to say I'm completely opposed to what they're going to do with the community, bringing up the value and making it better than what it looks like now. We could be doing a lot better, okay? I do know that. But do we have to also settle? I don't know. I don't know if I want to agree with that as well. And this is, again, I was there at the meeting for MPU and the last meeting. I wish I would have been there before. But then the pillar of the community that also lives right completely right across the street and directly adjacent from me, Mrs. Mills, has these same concerns, and she has not been heard.
Well, to the extent possible, this board has accommodated you and provided you with, I believe, responses to those three concerns that you have expressed to us.
And I do appreciate it.
And at this juncture, I'm not certain. You have not brought any additional information to this board for us to address, so we are in a position to move forward at this time.
Thank you.
Mr.
Thank you very
Chair.
Much. Yes, Ms. Faulkner. I'm sorry.
If I might ask the applicant a question.
Absolutely.
Or please go ahead.
Mr. Moore. During the presentation, you mentioned that this was a manufacturing facility, but also in the application, it says that you will be giving tours to about 20 people.
Correct.
So this facility will be open to the public.
It's certain hours presently at our location on Edgewood Avenue, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We do tours during the hours of 2 to about 7 p.m. We limit those tours to about 20 people, which the parking that we have is more than sufficient to cover that number of people that would be coming into the distillery. Those are guided tours that's under the current Georgia tour and tasting laws that continue to evolve, but allow us to give someone a guided tour, give them samples of our product, as I said before, up to 1.5 ounces of our product. And then as a part of that, they are allowed to pay for that tour and leave with a souvenir bottle.
And Ms. Gomez mentioned something about an event space. Do you have an event space as part of this facility?
No. We have a tasting room, which certainly in the future could be used to have private events. That's not something our primary focus is as a manufacturer. We need to increase our manufacturing capacity. We've already outgrown our facility on Edgewood Avenue, which is a great thing, but we just need more manufacturing space. So We will have a tasting room there where we'll do events or tastings, sorry, and tours. Events down the road certainly might be a possibility, but our situation is such that we would be limited by the parking. I mean, even if people wanted to park on Howell Street, there's just not a lot of parking. There's not a lot of parking in Old Fourth Ward in general. And, you know, we're hopeful that the church, Our Lady of Lourdes Church project that's going on the large parcel that is behind Edgewood actually goes through, and they have the parking deck, which actually increases parking for the entire community. That might allow us to do larger private events as long as the parking would be controlled within that environment, but as it is now, we have, you know, 20, 25 spaces, so we will be limited by the number of people that we can have in there.
And one last question. I presume that the manufacturing component of this distillery will produce some odors, that there will be some off-gassing and things. Can you tell us what you plan to do in order to mitigate these odors?
Well, the odors are very pleasant. So if anyone's come to our distillery, anyone who's done a tour, as soon as you walk in the door, you smell fermentation. So it kind of smells like a bakery, basically, because you have yeast eating sugar and creating alcohol. Carbon dioxide is the only other byproduct, which is relatively odorless. We have a venting system in our current facility, and we'll obviously, for our personal safety, we'll have the same that would be vented upwards. I don't think, if you were 10 feet outside of the building, you couldn't smell anything. So you'd have to be inside to smell it, and it's quite a pleasant smell.
Okay,
I may be biased, but it really is. It smells like a bakery.
Okay, thank you.
Can I just say one more thing about Mrs. Mills? I don't think it's fair for her to say that she's speaking on behalf of Mrs. Mills, because we met with her for several hours on multiple occasions, and her son has actually started to do work for us. She declined to vote at the last NPU meeting, even though Ms. Gomez was prodding her to vote against the project. Ms. Mills declined to do so. So I don't think it's fair for her to come here and really say that she represents other people who aren't here for whatever reason, but they had every opportunity to come to the multiple NPU meetings that we attended. As I said, the vote was near unanimous with the exception of Ms. Gomez, and Ms. Mills did not vote against this project. So if she has concerns, she hasn't expressed those directly to us.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Ms. Holmes.
If there are no further comments or questions, I'm prepared to make a motion.
I don't believe that they are. Please proceed.
With respect to case number Z-16-010, I move that this board accept staff's findings of fact.
Second.
A motion has been made and properly seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes.
Further, with respect to case number Z-16-10, I move that this board send forth a recommendation of approval conditional with the one condition found on the staff report dated May 5th.
Second.
A motion has been made and properly seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes. Good luck, Mr. Moore. Ms. Thompson.
Z-1574, a substitute ordinance by Council Member Ivory Lee Young to amend parts of Chapter 29 and Chapter 28A to create a definition for primary occupants and the allowance for primary occupant signs in the C-4 Central Area Commercial Residential District of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Atlanta to set forth specific restrictions on primary occupant signs for office buildings that meet certain requirements and for other purposes. NPU recommendation, staff recommendation, approval of a substitute ordinance.
Thank you. Ms. Crawford, is this legislation being presented by your staff?
So yes, this is a personal paper, so staff will present this ordinance, provide an overview, and also recommendations from staff and the NPUs that review the legislation. So Z-1574 is a text amendment to the C-4 Sign District Regulations, which are found in Chapter 28A, and it proposes to do two things. First, to create the definition of primary occupant. then to allow for primary occupant signs if a tenant in an office building meets the definition of being a primary occupant. Currently, the C4 sign regulations limit ground floor tenants to 3 building signs, and the size limitation is 200 square feet, and upper floor tenants are limited to 1 sign at 60 feet in size, and the signs can't be at a height taller than 35 feet above the building's ground level. So this text amendment seeks to sort of balance out the signage needs of ground floor tenants and upper floor tenants. And it gives upper floor tenants the opportunity to have the same number of signs, same size of signs, but at a higher height at 55 feet as ground floor tenants. So the definition that would be created for primary occupants is as follows. It's an office building tenant that occupies a minimum of 50,000 square feet of floor space and possesses a leasehold term of not less than 5 years. And the primary occupant sign allowance would have the following limitations on the number, size, and the height of for the signs. So no more than 3 primary occupant signs can be on any building. Only 1 primary occupant sign could be on any 1 building facade. The sign area is limited to 200 square feet. That's whether the sign is a standalone sign or in the aggregate. You can have a maximum of 3 signs. And the height cannot exceed 55 feet above the street level. In the situations where you have a corporate tenant who qualifies for both a building signature sign and a primary occupant sign, that tenant would have to pick which sign they could have. You couldn't qualify and have a signage for both. This legislation was sent to the 25 MPUs in the city. And most MPUs reviewed it and provided a recommendation. Their recommendations are as follows. So 13 MPUs recommend approval. 1 MPU recommends a denial. 3 MPUs chose to not take a position and abstained. 4 MPUs deferred the legislation, and we did not receive voting results from the 4 remaining MPUs. But to provide context, this impacts only the C4 zoning designation, and only 2 MPUs in the city have properties that are currently zoned C4, and those are MPUs E and M, and both MPU E and M voted to approve the text amendment. The staff recommendation is for approval of the substitute ordinance, which is before you tonight.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone present that would like to speak further in support of this application? Hearing none, is there anyone present that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Good evening, Mr. Schneider.
I live at 161 Mangum Street Southwest, Loft 203. The problem I really have with this, and it's not the staff's problem on this one, because this was, as I understand it, was presented by Councilmember Ivory Lee Young. And, you know, it sounds good on its face, and it may be perfectly fine, but there's no real statement about why this is even before us. Now, the first thing is we talk about two districts have C4, and one is Georgia Power, and that's all the land that's in MPUM that Georgia Power owns is that one C4, and it should have been part of SPI-1 as a sub-area, but for some reason staff decided not to do that. So that leaves the Atlantic Station area, and its zoning is C4 with 34 conditions, plus or minus. And that should have been an SPI and put into the ordinance rather than as a separate ordinance you have to go find. So if Councilmember Young brings this here, why isn't there a written justification? He doesn't have to do that, but from a practical point of view, he should bring it in and say, why is Atlantic Station needing this? What is the point? And I would suggest then, if it's only for Atlantic Station, why is it only Atlantic Station and say not C3, Buckhead, Midtown kinds of office buildings to change their signage to the same kind of thing? I mean, in other words, why are we looking at one particular district, one particular development, if you would, Atlantic Station? It does have multiple owners in it. Why are we looking at just Atlantic Station for this particular text amendment? I don't understand it, and I would suggest that given by the mixed response you got from the 25 MPUs, they didn't understand it either. And what are we really doing for a particular development, and why? Again, it may be innocuous in the long run, but why? And I don't think there's an answer here tonight. I think there needs to be an answer. I think you need to have it, and since it's being televised, the public needs to have some reasoning. Why are we doing this other than it sounds like innocuous? And that's, I mean, I'm not really opposed to it, but I don't know why we are doing it at all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Snyder. Is there anyone else present that would like to speak in opposition to this text amendment? The board will now go into executive session.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Ms. Hall.
If there are no comments or questions, I'm prepared to make a motion.
I don't believe there are any.
With respect to case number Z-15-74, I move that this board accept staff's findings of fact.
Second.
The motion has been made and properly seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes.
Further, with respect to case number Z-15-74, I move that this board send forth a recommendation of approval of the substitute ordinance.
Second.
The motion has been made and properly seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved. Meeting adjourned.